Today's shiur is Masechta Sukkah Daf Hei, and we will begin on Daf Talad on the Beis, six lines from the bottom. We learned in the Mishnah, V'she'ena Gavaya Sar Tfachim, that if a sukkah is not 10 tfachim tall, then it's disqualified. Ask the Gemara Manolan, how do we know that such a sukkah is disqualified? And the question that one would ask when learning this Gemara is, yesterday we already explained that a sukkah that's not 10 tefachim tall is a dira srucha. It's a place that's difficult to live. And a dira srucha, we learned, is an adira. So why is the Gemara asking again, why is a 10 tefachim sukkah disqualified? So actually, I think Tosfos is asking that question. And the way Tosfos is trying to answer it is by saying that the Gemara's question here is not limited to hilchos sukkah, but actually the Gemara's question here is in all areas of halacha. Where do we know that a partition to be considered a mechitza has to be 10 tefachim tall? That's one way of explaining it. Another way of explaining it is that yesterday we said that a house, a structure that's not 10 tefachim tall is a dira srucha. So the Mefarshim asked, how much is 10 tefachim? 40 inches or maybe even less. And that's already, and once it's 40 inches, it's already so comfortable to live in. It's also not so comfortable to live in. So what do we have to say? That the Torah, through Chazal, gave us the Shiurim, told us exactly what is the size, and once the Torah tells us the size, there's no question. And that's exactly what the Gemara is coming to say. If we were to leave the definition of Dira Serucha up to every individual, so it's difficult to come up with a standard. So the Chazal told us that the standard is 10 tefachim, and therefore there's no room for further conversation. But the Mefarshim asked, actually it's a good kasha. If we're saying that the concern is dira srucha, 10 tefachim is difficult to live. So why is that? Most people are a lot higher, taller than 10 tefachim. So why isn't a problem of dira srucha? So I saw an answer to that question also. When we spoke earlier in the parrot about the minimum size of a sukkah, the Gemara said it has to fit roshay rubay v'shulchanah. So Rashi said, why do we need roshay v'rubay? So Rashi said, because in those times, in ancient times, most eating was done in reclining position. So yes, if we look at a person when he's standing tall, so who could stand tall in 10 tefachim? But says Rashi, that when we look at the sukkah, we don't look at you as if you're standing, we look at you as if you're reclining. And reclining, and even if it's 10 tefachim tall, you can manage, because you don't need that much height. So ask the Rabbi Nolan, how do we know the size of 10 tefachim? Itma Rav Rav Chanina, Rav Yochanan Rav Chanina, Masnu B'kula Say the Kol Kei Zuga. Whenever you see this group of people anywhere and say the Moed, it tells us the Gemara, Chlufi Rav Yochanan, take out Rav Yochanan, Maili Rav Yonasan, put Rav Yonasan in his place. As we find in the Torah, Aron Tisha, the Kapiras Tefach, in the base Migdal, in the Mishkan, there was an Aron which was 9 tefachim, and the Kapiras was 1 tefach above the Aron. Harei Kanasara, 9 + 1 = 10. V'ksiv, and the pasuk says, "V'noyadlicha sham v'dibarti itcha mi'ala Kapiras," that HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to us from above the Kapiras. The Tanya Rabbi Yossi, Omer Rabbi Yossi says in the explanation of these psukim, Ma'olam la yard the Shechina lamata, the Shechina never came within 10 tefachim. V'lai ola Moshe v'Eliyahu l'mori. Furthermore, Moshe Rabbeinu Eliyahu never went up to the top 10 tefachim, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu kaviyach lives. Shenemar Hashemayim Shemayim Lashem v'Oretz Nosel Bnei Adam. So we see that until 10 tefachim is one rishus, and above 10 tefachim is another rishus. So that's why a sukkah has to be 10 tefachim, because it's to make a separate rishus. The Aruch HaNer explains, just because Moshe and Eliyahu didn't go all the way up to Shemayim, how do we know, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not come down in their times, as we were sealing the Gemara, how do we know that's forever? So he says, that's what the pasuk is teaching us. Hashemayim Shemayim Lashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will always remain in Shemayim. For Oretz Nosel Bnei Adam, and the Oretz always remains ours. So the Sfas Emes asks that this connection that the Gemara is making between that the Shechina is above 10 tefachim to the minimum height of the sukkah, the connection is somewhat ambiguous. What does one have to do with the other? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu remains above 10 tefachim, that's why sukkah is now allowed to be lower than 10 tefachim. What's the connection? So the Sfas Emes and Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld explain it this way. They say when a Jew enters the sukkah, he's entering the Tzela de Hamnusa. He's entering HaKadosh Baruch Hu's place, Kaviyachim. If the Gemara now says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is above 10 tefachim, so if we want to come into HaKadosh Baruch Hu's domain, we have to make sure that our sukkah is 10 tefachim tall. And the Sfas Emes takes it a step further. The Pasuk says, we're going to talk about the Gemara, going to say, Chag HaSukkos Tasha Shivas Yomim LaHashem. The Gemara is going to explain later in the Masechta, Ma Chagiga L'Shem Hashem, just like when you bring a carbon, it has to be L'Shem Hashem. Af Sukkah L'Shem Hashem. A sukkah has to be made L'Shem Hashem. So he quotes the Rishonim that say, let's say when somebody's building his sukkah, he has specifically in mind that the sukkah should not be L'Shem Hashem. So he says that the sukkah is disqualified. A sukkah, by definition, has to be L'Shem Hashem. Because as we're learning now, Gemara, Seal Damnusa, you have to be in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's domain. If you make a sukkah with the opposite intention, it's not a kosher sukkah. That's why our Gemara says that the sukkah has to be at least 10 tefachim tall. Ask the Gemara, V'lo yarda shechina lamata, is that true that the shechina never came down this low? The ksiv, it says by Kabbalah HaTorah, V'yered Hashem al Har Sinai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to Har Sinai, answered the Gemara, L'mal Masar Tefachim. It was above Masar Tefachim. The ksiv, ask the Gemara, there's another pasuk in Zechariah, where the pasuk says, V'omdu ragla b'yoyim al hu'al har zeisim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyachu will stand in Har Zeisim. And like the Ben Yoyada explains, this pasuk seems to be more explicit. The pasuk doesn't just say Devayir, it says that he's actually standing on the mountain. And it says the Gemara again, L'mal Masar Tefachim. It's only with above Asar Tefachim. Even though the word B'omdu seems to mean standing, it means above 10 Tefachim. Ask the Gemara, on the other hand, V'loy Olam Moshe V'loy Olam Maram, is it true that Moshe Rabbeinu and Eliyahu never went up all the way to Shemayim? Because the pasuk says, "O Moshe Olel Olakim," says the Gemara L'matim Asar. Even though he went all the way up, it wasn't all the way up to Taf Tent Tefachim. And in fact, the Svarim explained that's why Moshe Rabbeinu was allowed to come down on Yom Kippur carrying the Torah, because since he wasn't all the way out, all the way up, it wasn't considered that he was in a different tchum. Ask the Gemara, the pasuk says, V'yal Eliyahu b'sara ha-shemayma, Eliyahu ascended to the heaven. Again, says the Gemara, L'mata masara. The Chassam Sofer explains, here we see that Eliyahu didn't go all the way up. He stayed somewhat below the Shemayim. So the Chassam Sofer explains that Eliyahu ha-Navi has two statuses. Because sometimes in Shas, he points out, we see that the Gemara asks Eliyahu how to do a mitzvah. He wasn't allowed to do an Aveira. So he says, when Eliyahu appears as a human, he has a din of a regular live human being, that just like all of us is mechuyu b'mitzvahs. When he doesn't appear as a human, says the Chassam Sofer, he is somewhat only considered a neshama, only a ruach, that's not mechuyu b'mitzvahs. Faksiv, ask the Gemara, there's a pasuk in Iyuv that the Gemara Masechta the Shabbos discusses. The pasuk says, Ma'achas p'nei kisik parashas olav onanu. So the Gemara Masechta the Shabbos explains that this pasuk is referring to when Moshe Rabbeinu came up to Shemayim to accept the Torah, and the Malachim said, "Why, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why are you giving the Torah to Klal Yisrael?" And the Malachim wanted to harm Moshe Rabbeinu. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, hold on to the Kisei HaKavod. Vom Rav Tanchem. Rav Tanchem, in explaining that pasuk, says, Melamed Shapira Shakai Meziv Shkanasai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, spread his wings over Moshe Rabbeinu, V'ononu, Olav. And he protected Moshe Rabbeinu from the Malachim. So seemingly, Moshe Rabbeinu was where the HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. Says the Gemara L'Matim Asara. He was still not in the top 10 tefachim. Mikomakam asked the Gemara, Na'achas pnei kosev, pnei kisei. The pasuk says that Moshe Rabbeinu held on to the throne of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Isn't that in top 10 Tefachim? Again, answered the Gemara, Ishtarvuve ishtarv le kisei adasara. The Orin came down to below 10 Tefachim, and that's where the Nakad Bei Moshe Rabbeinu stopped. So as the Menachem Meshev Nefesh explains the Gemara, there are three areas. There's an area which is the lowest 10 Tefachim, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, doesn't come. There's the area from there until the top 10 Tefachim of the world, which are placed both where Moshe, Eliyahu, and others have been, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is all Kaviyachal, the best we could understand this. And then there's the top 10 Tefachim, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu remains. In fact, this is one of the reasons the Mefarshim explain why the Minig is that we are not Mekadosh HaChodesh on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So the simple reason is because there's a concern you're going to carry the Siddur outside and you'll end up carrying. But that wouldn't apply to Yom Tov. So the Mefarshim explain that since we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is out of our Tchum, he's in the top 10 Tefachim that we can't enter, that humans can't enter, even Moshe Rabbeinu and Eliyahu HaNavi did not enter. So it's, so to speak, greeting and entering into a different Tchum, which is Asur and Shabbos and Yom Tov. The Meretz Chayis says a beautiful pshat in Ma'olam LaYor D'Shechina LaMata. He says, the Gemara says, Hakol B'Dei Shemayim Chutz Me'Yira Shemayim. The person, everything is Min HaShemayim besides Yira Shemayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu left us with the Bechira. HaKadosh Baruch Hu left us with the free will to choose to do right or Chas V'Shalom wrong. Ma'olam LaYor D'Shechina LaMata. The Shechina, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, doesn't come to this world. In this world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu leaves us with the Bechira to make our own choice if we will serve Him or not. Meretz Chayis. Says the Gemara. So the Gemara proved that the Shechina is above 10 Tefachim, because we said that the Aron and the Kapiris equal 10 Tefachim. Says the Gemara, Bishlam Aron, Tisha, we know that the Aron is 9 Tefachim, because it's an explicit pasuk. The Ksiv, Bas Aron Tishitim, we should make Aron Tishitim, Amasayim V'chetzi Arka, it's 2.5 Amas long, Am V'chetzi Rachba, it's 1.5 wide, for Am V'chetzi Kamasai, and it's 1.5 tall, and Amma is 6 Tefachim, half an amma is 3 tefachim, 6 plus 3 equal 9. Ella, kfar is tefach menolon. How do we know that the height of the kapirus was a tefach? Says the Gemara, the Tanya of Chanina, kol hakelim, sh'osu Moshe, all the various kelim that were made for the Mishkan, the Moshe Rabbeinu erected, nitna behem Torah midas archon, midas rachvon, midas kamoson. The Torah told us exactly how long, how wide, how tall they should be. Kapirus, however, when it comes to the kapirus, midas archa or midas rachva nitna. The Torah explicitly told us the height and the width. Midas kamasai loy nitna, but not the height. So now the Gemara is going to try to calculate or figure out how high the kapirus was. But I saw a beautiful word from the Sefer Ian Menachem. Why taka didn't the Torah give us? If the Torah was so exact and so particular in giving us the exact dimensions for everything, why all of a sudden when it comes to the kapirus, the cover of the Aron, doesn't the Torah give us the measurement of the height? So the Sefer Ian Menachem explains that the cover of the Aron, the kapirus, represent the Tomchei Torah. It represents those that support Torah. So he says that when somebody supports Torah, it's not just he puts in a dollar into supporting a yeshiva, supporting Lom Dei Torah. It's an investment that pays dividends. Because every time that person who you helped learn learns, you get credit for it. And when he raises a family, or he teaches Talmidim, you get credit for his learning Torah. So the cover of the Aron, he says, doesn't have a measure. It's a lot more, you get a lot more than when you put in. And he says that pshat, and it's something we say every morning in Yigdal. We say, Goyma le'ish chesed kimefaloi, noisein le'rosh ra kirish asai. So he points out, when we speak about chesed, he said, Goyma le'ish chesed kimefaloi. We don't say kechazdoi, we say kemif'ola. When it comes to Rosh, we say noisim l'Rosh ra, kirish asan. What pshat? It says, we know that midah taiva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's midah of doing good, is merubah, is much more than midah's pranis. So noisim l'Rosh ra, when it comes to pay the Rosh for his averus, kirish asan. Whatever he did bad, HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes him. But when it comes to a tzaddik, goymel ish chesed, when a person does chesed, we don't only pay him for the exact chesed that I gave a dollar tzedakah. Kimifoloi, it looks like an investment, and all of the good things that came out of my supporting someone else and my helping, not just that exact immediate help, I get credit for. So we're trying to understand, how do we know that the height of the kapayrus was a tafa? Says the Gemara, say ulamad mipakash v'kelim. Let's look at the smallest keli that was in the Mishkan. Shenema, it says in the pasuk regarding the shulchan, v'sisalay mizgeres tefach soviv. They should make a frame around the shulchan which should be tall a tefach. Mala hal tefach, just like the Torah tells us specifically there, it should be a tefach tall. Afkan tefach. Says the Gemara, if we're learning from the different kelim there in the Mishkan, the Nelef Mikelev Gufayu, why don't we learn from different kelim? Why don't we dafka learn from the Mizgeris? Answers the Gemara, Tafastam Rubat Loi Tafasta, Tafastam Ur Tafasta. We spoke about this recently in Masechta Yuma. The way Rashi explains it is like this. This is a rule throughout Shas. When we have to make a choice what number to choose, we choose the smallest one. And Rashi explains it because the reasoning is as follows. If I choose the smallest number, it's a safe guess. If I choose a larger number, I might have gone too far. Taking the most conservative choice is always the safest bet. And like the Shor Mitzion Balacha explains, just like we have another rule, Bari V'Shem V'Bari Adif, when you have something sure and something that's not sure, you always follow the sure thing. Taking the smallest number is the safest bet. That's how Rashi explains it. Tosfos, and we'll speak about this Tosfos more in Amud Beis, explains that the concept of Tafasta Merubah Lo Tafasta is once you go past the minimum, there is no end. When you take the smallest number, it's a finite number. Once you go past that, you never know where to end, and that's why Tafasta Merubah Loita Fasta. Says the Gemara, if we're looking for the smallest keli in the Mishkan, Sunelef Mitzitz, why don't we learn from the Tzitz? The Tanya, Tzitz Doimekim in Tashelzov, the Tzitz that the Gadol wore looked like a gold plate, Rochav Beis Etzbos, its width was only 2 Etzbos, which is a half a Tefach, because a Tefach is 4 Etzbos, Umakov Ma'oizen La'oizen, and went from one ear to the other, the Kosovo Labei Shitin, there were 2 lines written on it. Yud Kemel Mala, the Shem Hashem was on the upper line. The Kodesh Lamed, the word Kodesh Lamed Milmata was on the lower line. So there's a 3-way Machlokes Rishonim, exactly how these 2 words were written on the Tzitz. Rashi says, as a simple pshat in the Gemara, the word Hashem was written on top, and below it was written the word Kodesh Lamed. Tosfos asks, that makes no sense. You're reading it backwards. You read the top line before you read the bottom line. And here you're reading Hashem before the Kodesh Lamed. So before we say how Tosfos learns, the Mefarshim explained that according to Rashi, even though it involves reading it incorrectly, to show the covet for the Shem Hashem, so be it. Another Pshat Rashi is that we're trying to show which Shem Hashem are we referring to. We're not only referring to the Shem Hashem that's above the Kodesh Lamed, it's also referring to the Hashem that the Kohen Gadol wore. We explained in the Urim V'Tumim, he had a piece of parchment that had the Shem Hashem on it. So it's going to both Shemers. But because of Tosfos Kasha on Rashi, he learns Pshat like this. On the upper line, and we always have to remember that Hebrew is read right to left, so the upper line, all the way to the left, they had the Shem Hashem. And the lower line, they had the word Kodesh Lamed, to the right. So if when you're reading and you go from right to left, what do you see first? Kodesh Lamed. But the Shem Hashem remains under upper line. That's how Tosfos learns. The Rashba has a third shot. The Rashba says that the word Kodesh Lamed were on the upper line, all the way to the left, and the word Hashem was on the bottom line, all the way to the right. So the upper line had the first two words that are relevant, Kodesh Lamed. The bottom line had the Hashem. The Gemara says that Hashem was Lamala. He says Lamala Lamata doesn't mean top and bottom, it means right and left. And Hashem was to the right, and Kodesh Lamed were to the left. Now, the Mefarshim asked a very simple question. The Lamed is the prefix to the word Hashem. So shouldn't the Lamed go together with Hashem? So according to the way Rashi explains, that we want to keep the word Hashem separate and holy, so we don't have any prefixes, suffixes, we keep it separate. Another pshat that I saw is that, as the Gemara just explained, the tzitz was quite small, so there wasn't a lot of room for letters. So the way they dealt with this, they wanted to have the same amount of letters on the upper line and the bottom line. The word Hashem has how many letters? Four letters, Yud Kei Vav Kei. The word Kodesh was spelled with three letters, Kuf Dalet Shin. So they added the Lamed to that line to keep both lines with the same amount of letters. Tosfos says, because Tosfos is somewhat relevant, Laloch Lamaisa, Tosfos says, the Gemara says that the line that had Hashem had the line Yud Kei. Tosfos didn't have Yud Kei, it had a Yud Kei Vav Kei. Why does the Gemara only say Yud Kei? So Tosfos says the Gemara here is trying to teach us a lesson, Laloch Lamaisa, that if somebody says out the word Yud-Kei, Vav-Kei, it's considered that he was Hoigah Hashem v'Yosef, even though he didn't pronounce Hashem's name. He just said the four letters of Hashem's name, and therefore it's not allowed to be done. And that's why the Gemara only mentions the first two letters. I asked Tosfos that Yud-Hei is also a Shem Hashem on its own right. So Tosfos says if somebody intends to use the whole Shem Hashem, and he only mentions part of it, that certainly is not considered that you mentioned Shem Hashem. So Tosfos therefore says that, but Tosfos says Rashi disagrees with him. Rashi, he says, holds that the Isser of Hoigah Hashem Bois Yosef only implies, we spoke about this in Masechta Yuma, with the Shem Hashem that's comprised of 42 letters. The Mashah says that even though Tosfos says that Rashi holds that it only applies to the Shem Hashem with 42 letters, that's only Midaraisa. But the Rabbanon, Rashi will agree that you're certainly not allowed to say even smaller Shem Vayis Hashem. And the Chassam Sofer explains this is the basis for the minig. It's not a minig from now, it's a minig from the times of the Rishonim, perhaps even earlier, that we never say, when we want to speak about the Shem Hashem, we don't say Yud Hei Vav and then say a Hei. Rather, we say Yud Kei Vav Kei. Because he's saying, based on Tosfos, just saying Yud Hei Vav and then the Hei is like saying Shem Hashem. And that's why we have the custom always only just to use the word Yud Kei Vav Kei. Vam Rav Elazar Rav Yosi, it continues the Gemara. Ani Ra'isa Beroini, I saw the tzitz in Rome, the custom of La Kodesh Hashem, Kodesh Hashem B'Shita Achas. It's on one line. So as the Gemara tells us, what happened was the Kaiser had once made a decree against the Jews. Rav Elazar Rav Yosi went to try to have him annul the decree. Punct when he came, the Kaiser's daughter was ill. Rav Yosi cured her. In reward, the Kaiser told him, you could go into my treasure house and do what you want there. So the first thing he did was go into the treasure house and rip up the decree. And the next thing he did was look at the kalim of the Beis HaMikdash, and he saw that Kodesh Lamed, Kodesh Lashem, was on one line of the tzitz. So it's very interesting. When you look in the Rambam says that Kodesh Lashem was on two separate lines. So the question is, when we have a machloikis in Lomdus, or we have a machloikis that we didn't see ourselves, we could have a machloikis. But if he saw it, and he certainly was an honest person, how could there be a machloikis? So the Rambam explains that even though the tzitz that Rebelezer saw had Kodesh Lashem on one line, that is because b'di'evid, if you write Kodesh Lashem on one line, it's acceptable. And that was the tzitz of Elazar saw. But the right way remains to write it in two lines, as the Chacham say it should be written. But the bottom line is, we see that the tzitz was two etzbos. So why are we learning the height of the kapayris from being a tefach? Learning it from the mezgeres, why don't we learn it from a tzitz? Answer the Gemara, don and kli mikli. We learn one vessel from another vessel, but ain't don and kli mitachshit. A tzitz is a beged, it's something worn, it's not a keli. Ask the Gemara, v'nei lev mizar. There were three kelim in the Mishkan that had a crown around them. The Shulchan, the Mizbeach, and the Aron. And the Amamar, we learned, Zer Mashu, that the height of the Zer is only a Mashu. Answers the Gemara, Don and Kli mi Kli, Vein Don and Kli mahashu Kli. A Zer, a crown, is only an ornamentation, and therefore it's not something that we learn from. Ihochi asked the Gemara, if you can't learn something, if you can't learn the kaparis from something which is only an ornamentation, so how do we learn from the mezgeres? Mezgeres, nami hechshiklihu. The mezgeres is only an ornamentation. Answer the Gemara, mezgarta lamata hisa. The mezgeres was the frame on which the legs of the shulchan stood. Ask the Gemara, ha nich lamant ama mezgarta lamata hisa, that indeed the mezgeres served as the frame from which the legs stood. And it wasn't the frame. So again, we come back to our original kasha that the mezgeres is only an ornamentation. So how can we learn the kaparis from it? It's only an ornamentation. Says the Gemara, Don and Davish Nit Bataramida, Bedavish Nit Bataramida. The Torah explicitly tells us the size of the mezgeres. The Torah tells us by the kaparis, albeit not the height of the mezgeres of the kaparis, but the other dimensions, vayichichud tzitz v'zer, when you talk about the tzitz, or you talk about the zer, the Torah doesn't give us any dimensions, so they can't serve as a source to learn what the size of something should be. Shalom, nothing but Torah mid the cloud. The Torah never speaks about dimensions regarding these items. Rav Huna mehocha. Rav Huna says, from here we know that the height of the kaparis was a tefach, because the pasuk says, regarding of the avoid of Yom Kippurim, the pasuk says, apnei kaparis keima. The Kohen Gadol should pritz the dam towards the kapayrus. The aim panim pechs mitafach. A panim is always the size of a tefach. Says the Gemara, if it says a face, they makapi the bar yuchni. Maybe it's the size of the face of this bird. It was a yuchni, which is a very large bird. Which the Gemara says that the bird is so large that it one time fell down and destroyed 60 cities. And says the Gemara, like we learned before, tefastam ruba like tefasta, tefastam mu tefasta. We always pick the smaller number. Says the Gemara, if you're looking for the smaller number, so then why say the face of a yumim, which is the size of a tefach, ve'emak apidit sapirta, why don't we say the size of the face of a small bird, the zutatuva, which is even smaller than a tefach? Answers the Gemara, Amar of Achba Yakar, Rav Huna Pnei Pnei Gomer. He learns the Gzeres Shava between the Pnei here and the word Pnei that says elsewhere. Ksiv Hocha, regarding the Pnei that was speaking about the Kapyrus, the Torah uses the words Apnei HaKapyrus. Ksiv Hosom, and it says by Yitzchak Avinu, Me'es Pnei Yitzchak Aviv. So just like there it says Pnei, and it refers to the face of a human, which we're saying is the size of a Tefach, so too here it refers to the face, that when we say Pnei Kapyrus, it means a Tefach. Ask the Gemara, V'nei lev mipanim shamala. Why don't we learn from the face of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where the Torah also uses the face, the word panim, the ksiv kurois pnei alakim v'tetzeini. Says the Gemara, tefastam ruba lo tefasta, tefastam ruba tefasta. We have a choice. So we use the size of the face of a human or the size of the face of lamala. So we use the smaller one. So the Aruch Laner and the Yavitz ask that our sugya today, we already learned the concept of tefastam ruba tefasta. This is the third time. So why does the Gemara keep on coming back? We know the answer. So the Yavit says a very nice mahalach in the Gemara. He says, Taisus asks another question here. Taisus says, according to his explanation that we spoke about in Amun Aleph, that how did Taisus explain tefastam ruba loy tefasta, tefastam mu tefasta? That if you're going to go with the bigger number, it's infinite. There's no end. So we have to pick the smaller number. So that's possible in other situations. But in our situation, there is an end to the larger number, because it can't be larger than the Beis HaMikdash. It has to fit into the Beis HaMikdash. Why did Taisa say we always follow Tfasta Merubah, light the fasta? Because it's infinite. Here it's not infinite. The Beis HaMikdash has a size to it. The Mishkan had a size to it. So why do we say over here Tfasta Merubah, light the fasta? That's why the Aruch HaNes says the Gemara keeps on going back to that question, because the Gemara says that this is not a typical case of Tfasta Merubah, light the fasta. But the interesting thing that Taisfus doesn't answer the kasha. And as Taisfus is asking a gevaldige kasha, how do we apply the concept of Tfasta Merubah, light the fasta here when we know, according to his explanation, that we have a finite size? So I saw an answer to Taisfus' kasha. The answer is as follows. Yes, in our particular situation here, the concept behind Tfasta Merubah, light the fasta is not applicable. Because here it is a finite size. But since in most situations, Tfasta Merubah, light the fasta, even with Taisa's explanation, is relevant, so it becomes a rule in Shas, even for the situations where the concept and the explanation are not relevant. And therefore here, even though it's not an infinite situation, we still apply the concept of Tfasta Merubah, light the fasta, Tfasta Mur Tfasta. V'neilach Mikruv, ask the Gemara, why don't we learn from the Kruv itself? The Ksiv, ala kapyrus yei pnei kruvim. And the Kruv, the Gemara learns, the Aruch HaNer explains, in the Havamina, the face of the Kruv was smaller than the human face. Why? Explains the Aruch HaNer like this. As we said earlier in the Shir, the average person is a lot taller than Yud Tfachim. So the face has to be proportionate to the body. So if a person, generally, in halacha, it's considered that it's 18 tefachim tall, so a face is one tefach. That's the proportion. But as we're going to learn soon in the Gemara, what is the height of the kruvim? 10 tefachim. So it's about half the height of a human. So the face should also be half, and should only be a half a tefach. Answers the Gemara, Amar of Achba Yaakov, Gemiri, Ein Pnei Kruvim Pekus Metefach. You can learn from the Kruv. But the Kruvim also the size of a Tefach. And in fact, says the Gemara, Rav Huna Nami Mahoch Gomer. Rav Huna actually learns, instead of saying that Rav Huna learns Pnei from Yitzchak, he actually learns from the Kruvim Pnei. My Kruv, because what is a Kruv? Omrav Acha, Omrav Avua, Kravya. Like the face of a child. She came above a currently Yanuka Ravya. They call a child Ravya. Amalei Abaya, El Ma'ata Diksiv, the Pasuk in Yecheskel, describing the Kruvim says, Pnei Echot Pnei Kruv, or Pnei Sheni Pnei Adam. One face, there were two images, one was a Kruv and one was a person. But according to the explanation we just gave, Hainu Kruv, Hainu Adam, isn't a Kruv and Adam the same? For the Pasuk it seems that there's two ayams, there's two things, there's a Kruv and Adam. But the way we're explaining it's one and the same, says the Gemara, Aperavri, Aperizotri. They're both humans, but what the Kruv refers to the face of a child, which is smaller, Aperizotra, and the Adam refers to the face of an adult, which is larger. But even the face of a child is a minimum of a tefach, and since we learn Pnea Kapyrus from Pnea Kruvim, just like the Kruv is a tefach, the face of the Kruv, here too it's a tefach. There's a very beautiful vart for a Moshe Martcha Epstein, the Rosh Hashiva of Chevron. He says, here the Gemara says the Kruv is a face of a Malach, of a child, a Malach. He says, we find the same word, Kruvim, in Parshas Bereishis, that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Adam HaRishon to leave the Gan Eden, he put Kruvim to protect the gate of Gan Eden, that Adam HaRishon shouldn't that come back in. Says the Gemedrash, who would approve him? Malachi Chavala. So what are the Kruvim? Are they Malachi Chavala? Or are they Malachim of a child? What kind of Malachim are they? So he says, it depends who you connect the child, who you connect the Malach to. If you connect the Malach to Aaron, then he looks like a Malach Elakim. And if you connect it to Aveira, he's a Malach Chavala. Now, continues the Gemara. We know that when we speak about the height of a sukkah being a minimum of 10, It means that the entire space, it's not that that when you look at 10 tefachim, it includes the height of the schach. It's excluding the height of the schach. So the Gemara wants to know, umemai de chiloi asoro bamischa. One, how do we know that the 10 tefachim have to be empty space, exclusive of the schach? Ema behadidisicha. Perhaps includes the schach. Because all the Gemaras that we learned till now just tell us that it's 10 tefachim. But maybe the 10 tefachim include the schach. So ask the Aruch HaNer, and who told you to learn pshat like that in the Mishnah? Maybe pshat is that the 10 tefachim indeed include the schach. So he explains like this. When we learned the Mishnah, we explained that when the Mishnah spoke that the maximum height is 20 amos, we said the 20 amos include the schach. Because that's how he said, 20 amos with the schach. So when that's for being kosher, and the 20 amos is above. So when we say that 10, it must be 10 below the schach. So we're back to where we started. All the lamudim that we had today don't answer that question. It says the Gemara on Beis Alamagoma. We use the Beis HaMikdash. Why is the Beis HaMikdash called the Beis Alamim? So Farshim explained, the Mishkan, by definition, traveled from place to place. So the spot on which the Beis HaMikdash was built only had the Kedusha as long as the Mishkan was there. Once the Mishkan traveled further, that place doesn't have the Kedusha. The Beis HaMikdash, on the other hand, even when the Beis HaMikdash is unfortunately destroyed, like now, the Kedusha remains. Beis Olamim. The Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash remains forever. The Ksiv, because the Pasuk in Melachim, in describing the Beis HaMikdash, says, Vabayis Hashabon Hashloim HaLashem Shishim Amma Orkoi 60 Amas was its height Ve'esrim Rachboi V'shloishim Amma Kamosai 60 height, 20 width, 30 60 length, I'm sorry, and 30 high. V'ksif, and the Pasuk says furthermore, Koyim Sakruv Echad Esra Ba'amma. One Kruv was 10 Amas tall V'kein HaKruv Hashem. So, says the Gemara, V'tanya, what was the ratio of kruv to height in the Beis HaMikdash? Kruvim b'shlish ha'bayis ha'mayim. They took up a third. If the kruvim were 10 amas tall and the Beis HaMikdash was 30 amas tall, so 10 is a third of 30. So we say the same in the Mishkan. Mishkan nami kruvim b'shlish ha'bayis ha'mayim. The kruvim take up a third. Now Mishkan kamahava. How tall was the Mishkan? Says the Gemara, Eser Amos. It was 10 Amos tall. The Ksiv, as the Pasuk says, Eser Amos Oyrech HaKerish. The Kerish, the boards, the walls of the Mishkan, were 10 Amos tall. Kama Havalahu, how much, if we transpose Amos into Tvachim, how much does that mean? Shitin Poshri, 60 Tvachim, because there are 6 Tvachim to an Amos. Tilsa Kama Hava, what's a third of 60? Esrim. 20 tvachim is a third of 60 tvachim. Dallas saw in the Arna Kapyrus. The Arna Kapyrus were 10 tvachim tall, as we proved previously in the Shir. Pashlo Arun. As Pashlo Asara. So now for the Kruvim were left with 10. The Ksiv and the Pasik in describing the Kruvim says, Vahaya Kruvim, Parsik Nefayim Lamala, Sochim Mekanfeim Al Kapyrus. The Torah uses the word Sochim Bekanfeim. The Torah uses the word Sukkah. Kaya Rechmona Sikha Lamal Masoro. So we see that the Torah uses the word Schach, Sukkah, by something that's 10 Tfachim tall. Says the Gemara, Mamai de Gafina Ule Raisha, who says that the 10 Tfachim were above the head? We're saying that the Kruvim were 10 tall, and the Kruvim were above, the wings were above that. Who says that the wings of the Kruvim were above the head? Maybe they were right by the head. It says that they were above, so they weren't equal. Equal would have been 10 tefachim. It says it was above, so we see that schach has to be above 10 tefachim. Says the Gemara, if it was above, why don't we say it was very high? Who says it was right above it? Maybe it was very high. Veim the midli tuva. Maybe, and therefore the height of the schach has to be even more than 10 tefachim. Miksiv lamala lamala. Says the Gemara, does it say very high? It just says lamala. Astor Chuner, why do we have to say this Teretz? Why don't we just say it's Fasta Merubah, to Fasta, that we used already so many times. So he says a very big Yesoid in Tfasta Merubah. He says Tfasta Merubah is only when you have a choice of two. Is it this number? Is it the lower number or a higher number? So Tfasta Merubah, like Tfasta, tells you to choose the lower number. Here there are no two numbers to choose from. It says Lamala, so maybe it means very high. That's what the Gemara says. It's Lamala, it's above, but not Lamala, Lamala, very high. Just a word of introduction before the next piece of Gemara. Generally, we know that an Amma is 6 Tfachim. That's called the Amma Beinonis, an average Amma. But actually, in Halacha, we find the Amma having three other dimensions. An Amma Ketana, small Amma, is 5 Tfachim. An Amma Gedoyla is a 6 Tfachim plus an Etzba. Says the Gemara, Ha Nicha, so this calculation that the Gemara just made, that the Kruvim was 10 Tfachim, works well according to Rameya. Domekala Amos Hayibeninus. That all the Amos that were used in the base of Migdash were 6 Tfachim Amos. Ask the Gemara, El Rabbi Yehuda Dama Amos Shabinyan, Sheisha Tfachim. The Amos that were used in erecting the Mishkan was an Amma of 6 Tfachim. However, Vishal Kalim, the Amma used to build the Kalim was an Amma of Chemish Tfachim, a 5 Tfachim. Mayikla Meima. What are we going to say? Because now the Gemara develops the question. Aron the Kapiris Kama Havalahu. It was saying that we used a Tefach, an Amma of 5 Tfachim to build the Aron. So we learned on Amman Aleph that how tall was the Aron? An Amma and a half. An Amma is 5 Tfachim. A half Amma is 2.5 Tfachim, is 7.5. Add to it a Tefach of the Kapiris. 7.5 plus 1 equal 8.5. If we learned that the top of the Kruvim reached to a third of the height, which would mean 20, 20 minus 8.5 is 11.5. So according to his calculation, and we said that the Kruvim are called Sukkah, so according to his calculation, it should be 11.5 Tfachim, the minimum height of the Sukkah, not 10. Arm of Kaparis, Kama Havalu, how tall are in Kaparis, Kamna Paga? Posh Lucy left over with Chatzor Yupalga 11.5. Same according to this calculation, we should say the Sukkah is Ad to have a Chatzor Yupalga, not 10, it should rather be 11.5. Says the Gemara, you're right. According to Rabbi Yehuda, we can't use the Kruvim as the basis of understanding how much is the minimum height of the Mishkan, El Rabbi Yehuda Hilchsa Gemirla. It's Allah Lamash Mesinai. Dar Rav Chiya Bar Ashi, Omer Rav, Shiurim, the minimum size of different mitzvahs. Chatzitzin, the minimum height of a chatzitzin is what's considered a chatzitza, or mechitzin, and the minimum size of a partition, Uram Halacha Lamash Mesinai. Therefore, he says it's Halacha Lamash Mesinai, how tall a Sukkah has to be, that it has to have a minimum height of 10 tefachim. So as we finish the shiur, we now have two different sources how we know that Sukkah has to be a minimum of 10 tefachim. According to Rameya, we learn it from the Kruvim, and according to Rabbi Yehuda, we learn it from our Halacha L'Moshe Mesinai. What's the difference between these two approaches? So Darach Lener explains. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the Halacha is that you have to have a wall of 10 tefachim. That's the halacha. According to Rameya, it has nothing to do with the size of the wall. It has to do that the schach should be above 10 tefachim. So let's say you'll have a sukkah that doesn't have a wall of 10 tefachim, but the schach is above 10 tefachim tall. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it will be disqualified, because Rabbi Yehuda says that the minimum height of the wall has to be 10 tefachim. According to Rameya, as long as the schach is above 10 tefachim, it will be a kosher sukkah.